It seems like a lot of people today are just saying, I don't have enough time. I just don't have enough time. There's so much to do. Earn a living. Work out your vocation. Nurture relationships. Care for dependents. Get exercise. Improve the house. Maintain sanity while doing all of that. And to keep growing as faithful and loving people at the same time. But we are finite, and the demands seem too great. For most of us, time is just too short. Those of us who feel pressed for time have lots of company. In a surprise bestseller, The Overworked American, economist Juliet Shore reported that work hours and stress are up, and sleep and family time are down for all classes of Americans. Wives working outside the home to retire... home returned to find a second shift of housework awaiting them. Husbands add overtime or second jobs to the schedules. Single parents stretch in so many directions that they often feel they can't manage. Simultaneously, everyone's bombarded with messages that urge them to spend more, ultimately work more, keep their homes up, improve themselves as people, as investors, as parents, as churchgoers. Supposedly, to make all this possible, grocery stores are open all night. Entertainment options are available around the clock. We live, says Shore, in an economy and society that are demanding too much from people. What's a person to do? U.S. culture has some answers ready. Quality time with your kids is usually the answer for parents. We've all wanted an exercise machine that reduces stress and burns off fat in only 20 minutes three times a week. That's the answer for the overwrought and the overweight. What you need is a good night's sleep or a vacation. We've heard that. Each of these answers has value, yet our circumstances require a stronger response. And we are too caught up in a swirl of our lives to devise one. Many are weary and heavy laden and distraughtly ask, when will it end? When will it end? Sitting on the front row watching communion last week and having the church walk by, I feel that in your voices and in your life as we do life together. Many have concerns, have worries, and are caught in situations that sometimes just seem like they're too big. Because we are finite as human beings, we are especially subject to our own interpretation of life's indicators of stress and pressure and weariness. And we can quickly see no end to our troubles. Today is a day to take heart. Because the God who created us and loves us is aware, and he has sent help. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That scripture's on the front of your bulletin. Because God loves us and wants us not just to survive, but to thrive in life, he provides us a yoke fellow to help us through. Some may ask, well, why do I need this yoke fellow? Well, right from the scriptures and from our conversation this morning, the yoke fellow offers us rest. Rest. Jesus' powerful words, come to me, is an invitation to a hallowed biblical tradition. We find it back in wisdom literature, who invited all to her banquet. From Proverbs 9, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. Jesus is carrying on this tradition. The prophet Isaiah also picks up this theme, though he turns it for his own purposes. Everyone who thirsts, Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without honey and without price, without money and without price. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. In our scripture here from Matthew, it would appear that Jesus has entered into the same tradition of invitation, and he's inviting us to come to him. And I will give you rest, which literally means I will refresh you. Refresh you. We've been laying around the house watching a lot of TV these days and trying to do some, you know, educational shows, and we watched the Trinity Broadcast Network and a lot of things, but there was a commercial on for some vacation in, you know, some island paradise, and I was kidding with Chris that because she's been homebound so much and she's got a new appreciation for people who are homebound and wants to go to them and minister and care for them, I suggested that God was moving her to this compassion ministry in the Bahamas so we could take care of weary travelers. I will refresh you. This verb refresh belongs to the terminology that we see in the apocalyptic words in Revelation and in Matthew 12. It is in the kingdom and through the attachment to Jesus that the faithful will find their rest. And the future tense indicates not a distant prospect or rest in the beyond, but the rest which those who follow Jesus will immediately find. In 2 Samuel 7, we read that the Lord had given David rest from his enemies. Rest in the Old Testament is usually identified as rest from war. In 1 Kings 4:25, there's another definition of rest. It says, during Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel lived in safety. From Dan to Beersheba, all of them under their vines and fig trees. A picture of rest. Psalm 95 is associated with rest. There's a lament in this psalm that Israel had turned their hearts against the Lord, and the Lord's response was, therefore, in my anger I swore, they shall not enter my rest. The promise of entering God's rest still remains. How do we enter this rest that God is inviting us to? We enter the rest through the invitation of Christ. Come to me. I will give you rest. Are you weary today? The yoke fellow has given you an invitation to find rest, to lay aside the cares and the worries, to put aside the questions of life. Will I find another job? Is my job safe? Will I rebuild my retirement? Will I skip this flu? The yoke fellow is in control. The God who has placed the stars in the heavens is in charge of your life when you accept his invitation. Christ invites people to take his yoke and learn from him because he was humble and lowly in heart, and they would find rest for their lives. For Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. What is described as easy and light, however, is a life lived in complete dedication to God. A dedication which would free people from self-concern, would get them thinking about generosity. This is the way that is understood to give rest. It's not from persecution. It's not from hardship. It's nor through temporary worldly honor, but through reliance on God, who is the Father of the Lord of heaven and earth. It would be easy and light because it would be free from the trivial concerns. The invitation to come and attach themselves to Jesus goes to those who all who are tired and burdened. And the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders are receiving condemnation for loading men with burdens that are hard to bear. See, in this little paragraph, it's a third paragraph of a prayer that Jesus is lifting to God. If you look at that scripture, Jesus is speaking out against the church and the legalism and the Pharisees and those that would hold everyone to every letter of the law, which was impossible. Church had become a place for the religious and the rule keepers. Jesus thanks God that he has revealed the real meaning of faith in himself and his life to children, to the disciples, to the simple, to the new, to the fresh faith. The burden was not heavy. The burden was not legalism and rules and whether or not in today's society the choir is robed and we're all wearing suits and ties. It's about carrying Christ's role to be simple and loving, taking that yoke of humility and carrying on in an expression of love. Jewish legalism was very burdensome to many. So as Jesus is inviting us to come and share, invite him to be our yoke fellow and to help us carry our load personally, he also has an address for the church that says, take my yoke, be humble, and serve. To take the yoke of Jesus is to follow him and learn from him whose law is not burdensome, but characterized by humility and concern for the despised, the people outside the church. He says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That self-description echoes the description of the servant of the Lord in Isaiah 42. The Messiah described in Zechariah 9, it's confirmed in 2 Corinthians 10:4, where Paul appeals to the meekness and gentleness of Christ. To partner with Jesus is not to carry the burden of living out the laws of the Bible or the laws of man's church, but it is to love God first, allowing him to order your days and to live for his purpose, and then loving people just as much, revealing his love in all that we do. And he's saying to us, it can be that simple. All we have to do is accept his invitation to be the church. As we stepped out last week and we practiced being the church, sometimes the schedule and the demands of life and the church calendar, you know, it's all that we can do to get to worship every week, to get out and do something as new and refreshing altogether. And in being the church, I'm hearing now that some classes want to continue going out and serving, doing things for others. This Tuesday, our Prime Timers ministry is going to practice doing caring ministries. I don't know about you, but I don't know where I would be had I not accepted Christ's invitation years ago. What would my life be like? What would my family be like? You can ask the same question. God has offered the invitation for us to yoke with Jesus. As a tool in farming, the yoke keeps the team together. And that first team is you and Christ, harnessed to God's will and God's way. working at the same purpose, bearing the workload simultaneously. It's a rich symbol and should mark our relationship with Christ, His church, and His people. So we need to accept His invitation and take up Jesus' yoke. Jesus invites us to be joined with Him, to walk in step together as He helps us carry the daily load. The yoke also signifies complete submission to someone else. Let us place our lives completely under the loving, refreshing lordship of Jesus. There are many places we tend to turn when life hits us hard, when we get bogged down and we get stressed out. Imagine how different it would be if we took God at His word, which says elsewhere, turn all your anxiety over to God because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. The result, Jesus promises, is that we will find rest for our souls. Rest for our souls, a time of refreshing. Are you tired of carrying your own load? Has your burden been too great? Does life have you overwhelmed? Jesus has an offer on the table. Ask Him into your life to help you lift your bags and carry the load. All we really have to do is say, help. Help. And the second thing is then, as a church, when we come together and we've all said help, how do we offer that to people who are not yet here, who still are trying to carry life's burdens all on their own, who do not know the God who offers rest and refreshing? We do that by putting aside the laws and the religiosity and everything we've grown up and known. And we focus on what Jesus would have us do. That's hard. But the invitation stands, and God says, come. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your invitation today. We thank You for being in charge of our lives and in command. But God, so often we want to take the reins ourselves and push You aside and try and do it our way. Lord, that's when we feel and realize the anxiety of life. God, perhaps there's someone in the room today who has never accepted Your invitation to come and lay their burdens at Your feet, to accept Your plan of salvation and to offer their lives to be placed under Your rule and Your love. God, may they move this morning. May they say, Lord, help me. I'm tired of doing it on my own. And Lord, for others, perhaps we made that invitation long ago, but we've forgotten that we are to trust You in all things and that we are to show this love and this trust to everyone that we come along. Lord, our workplaces and the places we go for recreation and entertainment, even our homes, are filled with people who need to know a God who is in control. Let us make a commitment today to accept Your invitation, that when people see us living a trusting life without a care in the world because we've laid them at Your feet, that is when their lives will be changed too. We thank You, Father. And Lord, as we sing our closing song, may those who need to come forward for prayer, for decisions, perhaps to simply say, Lord, today we trust You and we obey You in giving over our lives to You, may they come forward. as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.